Protocol number 5. What form of government can be given to societies in which bribery has penetrated everywhere, where riches are obtained only by clever tricks, and semi-fraudulent means, where corruption reigns, where morality is sustained by punitive measures and strict laws, and not by voluntary acceptance of moral principles, where cosmopolitan convictions have eliminated patriotic feelings and religion? What form of government can be given to such societies other than a despotism such as I shall describe? We will create a strong centralized government so as to gather the social forces into our power. We will mechanically regulate all the functions of political life of our subjects by new laws. These laws will gradually eliminate all the concessions and liberties permitted by the Goys. Our kingdom will be crowned by such a majestic despotism that it will be able at all times and in all places to crush both antagonistic and discontented Goys. We may be told that the despotism outlined by me is inconsistent with modern progress, but I will prove to you that the contrary is the case. At the time when people considered rulers as an incarnation of the will of God, they subjected themselves without murmur to the autocracy of the sovereigns. But as soon as we inspired them with the thought of their personal rights, they began to regard the rulers as ordinary mortals. The holy anointments fell from the heads of sovereigns in the opinion of the people. And when we deprived them of their belief in God, then authority was thrown into the street, where it became public property and was seized by us. Moreover, the art of governing the masses and individuals by means of cunningly constructed theories and phraseology, by rulers of social life and other devices not understood by the Goys, belongs among other faculties to our administrative mind, which is educated in analyses and observation, and is also based upon skillful reasoning in which we have no competitors, just as we have none in the preparation of plans for political action and solidarity. Only the Jesuits could be compared to us in this, but we were able to discredit them in the mind of the senseless mob as a visible organization, whereas we with our secret organization remained in the dark. After all, is it not the same to the world who will be its master, whether it be the head of Catholicism or our despot of Zionist blood? To us, however, the chosen people, it is by no means a matter of indifference. Temporarily, a world coalition of the Gentiles would be able to hold us in check. But we have insured against this by roots of dissension so deep among them that they cannot now be extracted. We have set at variance the personal and national interest of the Goys. We have incited religious and race hatred, nurtured by us in their hearts for 20 centuries. Owing to all this, no state will obtain the help it asks for from any side, because each of them will think that a coalition against us will be disadvantageous to it. We are too powerful. We must be taken into consideration. No country can reach even an insignificant private understanding without our being secret parties to it. Per me regis regnant. Through me the sovereigns reign. The prophets have told us that we were chosen by God Himself to reign over the world. God endowed us with genius to enable us to cope with the problem. Were there a genius in the opposing camp, he would struggle against us. But a newcomer is not equal to an old inhabitant. The struggle between us would be of such a merciless nature as the world has never seen before. Moreover, their genius would be too late. All the wheels of government mechanism move by the action of the motor, which is in our hands, and that motor is gold. The science of political economy invented by our wise men has long ago demonstrated the royal prestige of capital. To attain freedom of action, capital must obtain freedom to monopolize industry and trade. This is already being done by an unseen hand in all parts of the world. Such liberty will give political power to traders and will aid in subjugating the people. At present, it is more important to disarm peoples than to lead them to war. It is more important to utilize flaming passions for our purposes than to extinguish them. More important to grasp and interpret the thoughts of others in our own way than to discard them. The most important problem of our government is to weaken the popular mind by criticism, to disaccustom it to thought, which creates opposition, to deflect the power of thought into mere empty eloquence. At all times, both people and individuals have mistaken words for deeds, as they are satisfied with the visible, rarely noticing whether the promise is performed in the fields of social life. Therefore, we will organize ostensible institutions which will prove eloquently their good work in the direction of progress. We will appropriate to ourselves the liberal aspect of all parties, of all shades of opinion, and we will provide our orators with the same aspect, and they will talk so much that they will exhaust the people by their speeches and cause them to turn away from orators in disgust. To control public opinion, it is necessary to perplex it by the expression of numerous contradictory opinions until the goers get lost in the labyrinth and come to understand that it is best to have no opinion on political questions. Such questions are not intended to be understood by the people, since only he who rules knows them. This is the first secret. The second secret necessary for the success of governing consists in so multiplying popular failings, habits, passions, and conventional laws that no one will be able to disentangle himself into chaos, and consequently people will cease to understand each other. This measure will help us to sow dissension within all parties, to disintegrate all those collective forces which still do not wish to subjugate themselves to us, to discourage all individual initiative which might be in any degree hamper our work. There is nothing more dangerous than individual initiative. If it has a touch of genius, it can accomplish more than a million people among whom we have sown dissensions. We must direct the education of the goy societies so that their arms will drop hopelessly when they face every task where initiative is required. The intensity of action resulting from individual freedom of action dissipates its force when it encounters another person's freedom. This results in heavy blows at morale, disappointments, and failures. We will so tire the goys by all this that we will force them to offer us an international power, which by its position will enable us conveniently to absorb, without destroying, all governmental forces of the world and thus to form a supergovernment. In lieu of modern rulers, we will place a monster which will be called the supergovernmental administration. Its hands will be stretched out like pincers in every direction, so that this colossal organization cannot fail to conquer all the peoples.